We are beginning a new series. I'm excited about it this morning. We're calling it One Another. And through January and February, we're going to look at a number of different One Another commandments or instructions in Scripture. This morning, we're going to start with love one another. And we're going to find that in John chapter 13. If you have your Bible with you, you can find John chapter 13, and we'll be looking at that in just a moment. The reason that I wanted to start with love one another out of all the other one another's, the reason I wanted to start with love one another is really pretty simple. There are three quick reasons. One is that it is the basis for all of the others. Once we learn to love one another, then we will want to edify one another, encourage one another, lift one another up, pray for one another, forgive. All the other one another's happen if we really learn to love one another first. So that's one reason that we want to start with love one another. Another reason that we're going to start with love one another is that it is repeated more times in Scripture than any of the others. Matter of fact, it's really kind of surprising how many times the Bible tells us to love one another. Since you follow us on Facebook, right? Since you follow us on Facebook, hopefully you saw just very recently a list of all the times that Scripture tells us, and this is just New Testament. All the times in the New Testament that we're told to love one another in different ways. And so since love one another is the basis for all the other one another's, and since it's repeated more often than any other's, and since this is the only one another instruction that comes directly from the mouth of Jesus, all of the other one another's that we're going to look at are from God's Word, and so they are 100% valid. However, this is the only one that we get directly from Jesus. He said to His followers, to His disciples, He said to them to love one another. Now, as we get ready to talk about love one another, I want us to play a real quick game this morning. I'm going to show you a logo, and you're going to tell me as soon as you can identify what that logo is, I want you to tell me what company it represents, okay? Go ahead and say it out loud so I know we're on the same page here. You ready? What is this logo? All right, good, good. What about this one? You just can't drive by a Buc-ee's, can you? You see a Buc-ee's, you have to stop. I think it's Texas law. Here you go. CBS, very good. You ready? Chick-fil-A. It's kind of like Buc-ee's. It's hard to drive past a Chick-fil-A. Wow, why was that louder than all the others? Nike, good. Pepsi, I wasn't sure if we'd get that one right off. Very good. Here you go. McDonald's. What about this one? Red Cross, good, good. And this one? All right, good. What about that? Starbucks. And what we need in West? Taco Bell, good. And here's this one. Target. What about this one? Twitter. That was a little bit softer. That's Twitter. As soon as you see the logo, none of those logos had any words. None of them told you the name of the company. They were just images. And as soon as we see those images, we know exactly the brand. We know exactly the company that's being represented. That's the power of a logo. And this morning, I want us to talk together about the Lord's logo. Did you know the Lord has a logo? He told us what His logo is. That when people see this logo, they will immediately
recognize him. When they see this logo, they immediately think of him. Just like when we see all those other logos, we think of the right brand, the right company. You've had time now to find John chapter 13. Look with me there at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this, all men will know. When they see this, they will all know that you belong to me. What is the this? Love for one another. The Lord's logo is love. He says, when you guys demonstrate love for one another, then everyone else, it says all men, everyone else is going to see that love that you're sharing among yourselves, and they are going to know that you're my people. Notice he says, this is a new commandment I give to you. And somebody immediately thought, when he said new commandment, somebody immediately thought, but wait a minute, even in the Old Testament we're told to love one another. This is nothing new. How can he say it's a new commandment? Well, if you'll remember, what he has told the disciples until now is love your neighbor as yourself, right? You figure out what you would want, what you would need. You figure out what love would look like to you, and you give that to someone else. Love your neighbor as yourself. What makes this one new is because he is speaking to his disciples, because he is speaking to his people, he ups the ante. And he says, now this time I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Everyone has always been commanded, love your neighbor as yourself. But now he says to his disciples, you guys love each other as I have loved you. Well, what kind of love has he shown them? Do you remember the context of this conversation? We've talked before about mental bookmarks in Scripture. You need to have certain mental bookmarks. You already do. One of them is John 3:16. That's a mental bookmark. You know, when you hear that address, you know that verse. You know Psalm 23. The 23rd Psalm is a mental book note that you have. You need to have some of those. One of them is Matthew 5, 6, and 7. You need to know mental bookmark, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That's the Sermon on the Mount. You need to have a mental book note of 1 Corinthians 13. We call it the love chapter. A mental book note of Hebrews 11. We call it the hall of faith. That's where he lists all of the folks in the Old Testament who demonstrated great faith and what an impact that has. One of the mental book notes that you want to have, bookmarks that you want to have, is John 13 through 17. All of those chapters. John 13 through 17. Anytime you hear a verse that comes out of one of those chapters, mentally you should immediately trigger to the upper room. All of those verses, all of those chapters describe what happened the night that Jesus spent his last few moments on earth with his disciples. He is about to die. He's about to leave them. They are no longer going to walk with him as they have. And so what are the most important things that he would tell them in his last instructions to them? One of the most important things he does for them is he washes their feet. And he explains to them that he's going to die. And he says, now love each other the way I love you. love each other with the sacrificial kind of love that would wash one another's feet. Love one another with that sacrificial kind of love that would lay down one's life for another. It's a new commandment. It's a deep commandment. It's a powerful instruction. He's about to show them the greatest demonstration of love ever when he dies on that cross. And he says, before he gets to Calvary, he tells them, love one another with my kind of love. The disciple John was there. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us that as they reclined at the meal, Jesus and John were next door to each other. They were sitting next to each other, close to one another, touching during the meal. And so John saw and he heard Jesus' final instructions to them, love one another with my kind of love, so that everyone who sees it will know that you're mine. And when John heard that and he saw it, it had such a huge impact on him, he wrote another entire book about that subject, about love. It's 1 John. We're in the Gospel of John. Put a marker here or paper or something where you can come back to it, and then turn all the way toward the right side of the Scripture, just before Revelation, and find 1 John, the epistle, the letter that he wrote. I want to show you 1 John chapter 4. Let me read for you beginning in verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, let's begin at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. In short, in summary, he says it this way. If you know God, if you belong to God, if you're one of His, then you will love. If you don't love, that means that you really don't know God. Why? Because God is, finish it. If God is love, then to know Him is to love. Since God is love, if I do not love, that demonstrates that I don't really know Him. It's a powerful, powerful explanation of how this works. While we're right here in this great epistle, let me show you another passage. The same chapter, just fast forward now down to 16. Starting at 16. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Now, before we go too much farther, let me just tell you, when the Bible says abides, what that means is hangs out with. All right? This is not talking about salvation as much as it is talking about hanging out with God, being in fellowship with God. And in essence, what he's saying is, if there's no love in your life, God's not hanging out with you. Because he is love. All right? Verse 17. By this, love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. He is love. Now, we are love in this world. 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Jerome was the church historian, and he relates that the Apostle John, when he became old, he used to go among the churches and the assemblies everywhere repeating the same words, little children, love one another. Well, John's disciples got tired of the constant repetition, hearing the same thing over and over. And he says, why do you always say the same thing? And according to Jerome, John said to his disciples, because it is the Lord's commandment, and if it only be fulfilled, it is enough. John knew that the greatest truth was most apt to be forgotten because we take it for granted. Jesus said, you love one another so that the world sees that and they know your mind. I think one of the reasons that that's a little bit tough for us sometimes is we get confused by love. Love is not really that warm, fuzzy feeling that we get. Love is a whole lot more to do with a choice than it is with an emotion. Love, according to Scripture, based on the truths of Scripture, love could be defined as the voluntary, sacrificial commitment to the well-being of another. It really has very little to do with our feelings. Real love is a voluntary, sacrificial commitment to the well-being of another. Why do mothers sacrifice so much, go through so much to take care of their kids? They've made a voluntary, sacrificial commitment to the well-being of another. Why do fathers give of themselves so much to their children? Because they are making a voluntary, sacrificial commitment to the well-being of another. Now Jesus says, those of you who take my name, Christian, those of you who take my name, love one another. Voluntarily, sacrificially commit yourselves to the well-being of the others. We get confused about love. We get confused about the nature of love. It's not just an emotion. It's not something that happens. It's a choice. That's why he can command it. You ever thought of that? Why can he say, a new commandment I give you, love? Why can he command us to love? Because we can choose to do it or not. We choose to love one another. Some folks waste so much time waiting to start feeling love for other folks. That feeling may come, and it may never come. But as soon as you took the name of Jesus, as soon as you took the name Christian, you received a command to love, to make a choice, a decision, to voluntarily, sacrificially commit yourself to the well-being of others. I think another reason we get confused about love is we confuse love and like, even in our everyday conversation. You know, I can say I love me some fried chicken, chocolate, and Dr. Pepper. But that's not really love, is it? I mean, we use the word that way, and that's fine. I mean, I'm pretty close to actually loving Dr. Pepper, but there's a difference between love and like, isn't it? And the reason I point that out is because that difference becomes even more important when we're talking about people. Can we be honest for a second? There are some people we just don't like. Come on. Some of them sitting in this room for you, probably. There are some people we just don't like. They rub us the wrong way. People who have demonstrated to me that I can't trust them, it's hard for me to like them. People who have acted ugly toward me or my family, it's hard to like them. But you know what Scripture never tells us we have to like everybody? There's a difference between liking folk and obeying the command to love them. Whether I like you or not, I can voluntarily, sacrificially commit to your well-being. I can love you even if we don't like each other that much. Stephen Olford tells of a Baptist minister during the American Revolution. His name was Peter Miller. He lived in Pennsylvania. This is back during the American Revolution, a long time ago, but Miller had a bitter enemy named Michael Whitman. And Whitman did everything he could to frustrate and humiliate the pastor, Peter Miller. One day, Whitman was arrested for treason and he was sentenced to die. Peter Miller walked 70 miles from Pennsylvania to plead with General George Washington for the life of the traitor. Washington said to Miller that he was sorry about their friendship, but that friendship was not enough to pardon the life of his friend Michael Whitman. The old preacher said, "My friend, he's the bitterest enemy that I have." And when Washington realized that Miller had walked 70 miles to offer that kind of assistance to an enemy, he granted the pardon. Love one another as I have loved you. The amazing thing is Jesus loved you before you earned it. He loved you even when he probably wouldn't have liked a whole lot of us. He loved us. And now he says to his disciples, "Y'all love each other with that kind of love." You know, it occurs to me, too, that he is speaking to his disciples. Yes, the Bible tells us to love our enemies. Yes, the Bible tells us that we should love our neighbor. But in this context, for this purpose, he was speaking to what would become the church. He was speaking to disciples. And instead of loving the neighbor and loving the enemy, he says, "You guys should be loving one another." And when you guys love one another, something is going to happen that the folks out yonder will see the love that you have for one another. And when they see that kind of love at work within the church, they're going to recognize me. The Lord's logo is love. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another." So the command is clear. We love one another. That by doing so, we live out the Lord's logo. You ever heard the term Hallmark? I mean, obviously you know the card company. And you know, even the card company, they've got that little crown as their logo. You know where all that started? Started in the 1300s in London. In the 1300s in London, it was hard for people to tell kind of how valuable gold was. I mean, it most of us couldn't tell 14 karat from 18 karat gold. We wouldn't know. And we can't, most of us can't tell a difference between gold plate and solid gold. And so in the 1300s in London, the Goldsmiths Guild was headquartered at a place called Goldsmiths Hall. And they took pride in doing their work, and so they wanted each customer to know what he was buying. And so they agreed together, they devised a mark of quality. And it was eventually established by law that they would put on the piece of gold, they would stamp this mark on it. It was a little crown and the number 18. So that when people saw that mark, they would know that it was 18 karat gold. And since the headquarters was Goldsmiths Hall, that was the mark of the hall, the hall mark. And so today, hallmark means to us, it's a stamp of approval that says this is the real deal. What is the hallmark of the church? When we love one another. That's the Lord's logo. By this will all men know that you're mine, when you show them me, when you show them love. I used to volunteer at the hospital. You remember when we had a hospital here in town? I used to volunteer at our local hospital as a chaplain. And they gave me a badge that I would wear when I'd walk into the hospital. And when I'd go in the hospital, I'd have that badge and people would know that I was a chaplain. It had my picture and my name, and it had the name chaplain on there, so they would know I was a chaplain. Now, if I ever went into the hospital without my badge, I was still a chaplain, but nobody would know it. Are you a believer in a way that nobody knows it? Or do you proudly wear the Lord's logo, the badge of Christianity, demonstrating who God is by loving one another? When people look at First Baptist Church of West, do they see the kind of love that makes them realize those folks are the real deal? When folks look at you, at your family, at you as an individual, do they see the mark of the real deal? Do they see the Lord's logo in your life, loving one another? It says, Jesus told them that if you love one another, all men will know that you're my disciples. All men will know. In order for all men to see the logo, it has to be visible. If they're going to recognize the logo, they have to see it. And if they're going to see it, we have to show it. So we begin with the Lord's command. Love one another. When people look at you, can they immediately tell you're His? Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to begin this journey together. We're grateful for your love for us. Thank you for allowing us to experience that great love and to share it with one another. Lord, we pray that you would make us loving people. Father, we ask you that you would help each of us now to make sure that we actually know you, that we have found that love. If we have, Lord, help us to renew our commitment to voluntarily and sacrificially seeking the well-being of others. And if we look into our own lives, our own hearts, and we see that love is not there, Lord, help us realize that we need to get right with you, the one who is love. We pray that in the next few minutes, your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us, that we would be able to be obedient and courageous enough to do what you call us to do and be who you call us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name.